Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We'd love to hear from you. To learn how we can pray for you or answer any questions, you can email Pastor John directly at pastorjohn@capenazarene.org. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
So now what? What earthly difference does it possibly make? What do we do now? I mean, I think these are the sorts of questions that those early disciples were asking. I think as they sat together, this is what the early church faced, and they tried to hammer out, what does it mean? What does resurrection mean? What does Jesus mean? What does it mean that Jesus has gone off into heaven and said he'll be back? And what are we supposed to do in the meantime? What does it mean to be this new covenant community, this resurrection community? What does it mean to worship a crucified, risen, and ascended Lord? What does this community look like in the face of evil, in the face of persecution? What does it look like in the face of the Roman Empire? What practical difference, what earthly difference does any of this all make? Because we all know the story. We've grown up with the story. It's all too easy for Easter to just sort of be a blip on our collective radar screen, right? A curiosity. And even when we're confronted with the miraculous and unexpected nature of it, we still face a very strong temptation to just sort of relegate it to a historical event that has future ramifications. That we certainly we do this, and I don't want to take away from this. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus because it gives us certain hope of eternal life with Christ. And that's good as long as we don't only end the story there. For there are present-day ramifications of this new covenant community, of what it means to be resurrection people, of what it means to be shaped by Easter. And if we are part of the church, we are part of this resurrection covenant community. We are resurrection people. We live into this new creation that began in the garden outside of Jerusalem as they gathered and the tomb was empty. See, the resurrection had immediate effect among the early church. The book of Acts reports the radical nature of this new community of faith. We're told of their passion for worship, for fellowship, for evangelism, right? I mean, they met together daily in the temple courts. They shared everything in common. People were added to their number daily. Worship, fellowship, evangelism. Upward, inward, outward. Connect, grow, serve. We put different words on it, but these are the hallmarks of a healthy church, right? People who gather together regularly for worship, for teaching, for discipleship. People who live in community, breaking bread together, provoking one another to good works. People who are reaching out to the world around them, giving, serving, and proclaiming. Worship, fellowship, and evangelism. And throughout the New Testament, we read accounts of this body of believers. The epistles are written, many of these letters are written to explain doctrine, to offer practical advice to these new churches, and to help guide this covenant community that became known as the church, the body of Christ. And as we read the New Testament, these words still communicate truth to us today. They tell us what it means to be followers of Jesus. And so our text today is the first several verses of the book of 1 John, and we begin today a series that will take us through the next several weeks of this season of Easter as we look at 1 John. But today we start 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So the letter begins with this claim to authority, right? It begins with this claim of being eyewitnesses. The disciples are eyewitnesses. I mean, we heard it in the gospel lesson today. Jesus offers himself to Thomas, touch, see, feel, explore. The disciples are eyewitnesses. They have seen Jesus. They have heard Jesus. They saw the wounds in his resurrected body. They ate meals with him. They saw him ascend into heaven. And Jesus commissioned them to proclaim the good news to the ends of the earth. That's well and good, Pastor, but it's 2,000 years later, right? I haven't touched and seen and heard. Jesus says to Thomas, did you catch it? Blessed are you because you've seen and believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. Jesus' blessing for you and for me. 2,000 years later, I want to suggest to you, we are a different sort of eyewitness, right? That we still experience the resurrected Christ personally. We encounter the body of Christ as we gather as the church. In some sense, we see and touch and taste Christ when we gather at the table, when we break bread. We encounter Christ at the altars or in acts of service, and certainly the light of the world in our hearts. These encounters with the resurrected Christ still profoundly change us today. And we are still the eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ, for we see his evidence at work in our lives, and we are therefore commissioned to proclaim the good news, to be eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ, even to the ends of the earth. This is the commission that has been passed down to us, to walk in the light, to invite others to walk in the light. This is holiness. Now hear me say this. This is holiness, not only defined by what we avoid, but also defined by what we do. And as we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We not only avoid sin, but we are purified from sin. We follow Jesus, our advocate, our Savior, our Lord. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. And as we walk in the light, the darkness is exposed. As we walk with Jesus, we become more and more like Jesus. As we are filled with the Spirit, we are transformed from darkness into light. This is the message of holiness. It is this message that you and I are commissioned to share. This is the good news we are called, that we are sent forth to proclaim. This is what it means to be Easter people. To be followers of the resurrected Jesus. We want to be Easter people, right? That was a good place to nod your head or say amen. We want to be Easter people, right? I mean, we want our lives to be radically altered because of our acceptance of the resurrected Jesus. There is a tension there, though, isn't there? I mean, we recognize this tension between how we believe things ought to be and how we sometimes experience them. I mean, think of the original readers of this letter 2,000 years ago, wondering, I thought Jesus was coming back. Where is he? 2,000 years later, we're in the same boat as those early readers of 1 John, wondering the same thing. We live in this tension of living into our future hope despite the present realities and the way in which we experience this. And John offers this other high and holy calling, right? To walk in the light and not to sin. This is the holiness message, a call to walk in the light, to be purified from sin and to not sin. We want to be that. We want to be Easter people, resurrection people. I'm grateful for John, because even John seems to recognize that there's a tension between how we want to be and how things sometimes happen. That the author recognizes we do sometimes still sin, and he points out, doesn't he? He points out the need for confession, to admit who we are, to tell the truth. I love that concluding verse. He calls us not to sin, and then he says, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Amen. What I hear John calling us to is radical honesty. To live in the light, to be honest about the times when we fail to walk in the light. He calls us to live above sin, but urges us to confess that sin when we do sin. He calls us to walk the talk and to talk the walk, but mostly to do it all with complete integrity, even when we fail to live up to our holy ideals and our best intentions. Anyone else ever fail to live up to your holy ideals and your best intentions? Yeah. I think the call is one to just not always wear rosy-colored glasses, right? This is not in my notes. There's this goofy thing, the Lego movie, and there's this song they sing, everything is awesome, everything is cool when you're part of a team. Anyone besides Shaylin? Just Shay and me, or Brenda? Okay, we're nodding our head. All right. I mean, I think there's this temptation for us to kind of wear rosy-colored glasses and say everything is awesome, right? Everything is cool when you're part of a team. But I think John calls us to this kind of radical honesty that says it's all right to admit and confess exactly where we are and how things are. And so today's annual meeting Sunday. I've given you a booklet full of reports. A lot of hard work has gone into those booklets, and I don't mean so much the typing and the collating and the binding. That was hard work. But the hard work that's gone into those booklets is the hours of prayer and ministry and service and organization and orchestration of ministry here that's represented. So I want you to read those reports. We shared some of them in our 9:30 hour. And we're going to rejoice this morning. I'll share some highlights from that. New ministries and generous and sacrificial giving and community outreach, denominational partnerships. And I want to tell you, sometimes people ask about this congregation. They ask about Cape Elizabeth, Maine. They're like, what's going on over there? Because we hear all sorts of kind of cool things. And whenever I get a chance to talk to people about you, about this group of people, I really like to brag on you. And I really like to tell people how you're always willing to try new things and to think outside the box and to do something if God leads us to do it. So we're going to celebrate some of that today. It's good and appropriate for us to do that. But, you know, annual meeting Sunday also ought to be an opportunity for us to reflect, for each of us individually and together corporately to evaluate our participation in the life of Christ, a chance to consider our own covenant relationship with this local expression of the body of Christ. It ought to be an opportunity to pause, to think about our participation, our commitment, our covenant, our desire for the kingdom of God to grow in and among us. So I think reports like this, by the way, are a challenge for most pastors. They're kind of hard to write. They force us to sit and reflect and think, and we spend a lot of hours working on what are we going to talk about and what does it mean to be this church and reflect on where we've been and where we think God's leading us. Because on the one hand, we want to be encouraging. We want to sing, everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. But we also want to recognize that, you know, sometimes there are challenges. Sometimes there are disappointments. And so we hear this call from 1 John to be honest, to be radically honest and to live lives of integrity, to walk in the light, but to be honest about the times when we don't live up to our holy ideals and our best intentions. So will you let me do just a little bit of both today? Is that all right? Just a little bit of both, to highlight some of the challenges we face and then some of the great things that we're trying. And together as we reflect and dream, it's my prayer that we would walk in the light as he is in the light. So if you look back over the last year, we know I don't think it's a secret. We've had a handful of numerical struggles along the way. We've had some folks move away, different living environments, different stages in their life, and we're glad for them, and we pray for them and consider them part of us, and we miss them. We've had some folks whose health situations and financial situations have changed. And if you look at the financial reports, you see we drafted this great optimistic and hope-filled budget a year ago. And we didn't quite meet that optimistic and hope-filled budget this year. You know that both Sunday school attendance and on-site morning worship have just had a slight decline this year. So we want to honestly acknowledge that, and corporately and individually to confess maybe we've not done as good a job fulfilling the Great Commission as we had hoped that we would be able to do. And I don't want to excuse those points this morning. I want to name them because John calls us to do that, I think. Without doing that, though, I want to point out these struggles we face are not unique to us, all right? Okay, they're not unique to us. They're not unique to the Church of the Nazarene. They're not unique to small churches. They're not unique to large churches. Churches in Maine, these are struggles that are faced in churches across our country of varying sizes, demographics, geography. We live in an increasingly secularized culture that has destabilized the typical measurements of commitment and growth in any organization, not just in the church, but the typical measurements of commitment and growth, attendance and giving, are been destabilized across our culture. Schools and civic activities put demands on our families, and in particular, those demands are increased on Sunday mornings. The increased mobility of our society. It's easy for us to pack up the car and go somewhere for the day. It has diminished the regularity of attendance even for lifelong Christians. So we acknowledge and name that because I think that John would tell us that in order to walk in the light, we must tell the truth. We must confess these things to ourselves, to each other, and to God. We can't walk in the light if we don't also speak the truth. We can't do better unless we also name it. I know, hang on, because in many ways I'm preaching to the choir, right? I mean, you're the ones who say, oh, I'm going to show up at annual meeting Sunday, right? I know we all would say, I want to do better. I want us to do better. We want to grow. We want to do all we can to fulfill God's call on our lives as individuals and as a congregation. And sometimes we're just simply not sure where to start, and I know that. So I know I'm preaching to the choir with that. So I just want to encourage you today, do what you can do, to invite a friend, to join a small group or a Sunday school class, to do your best to be present as often as possible and encourage and connect with each other. This is a shared responsibility. And together with God's help, we can grow into what God wants us to be. So, that was part A. Having said that, let me tell you some other things this morning. Because we bit off some pretty audacious goals this year, didn't we? And goodness, we met them. And because of them, I want to tell you, kingdom work is being accomplished not only here but around the world, and you guys are right in the middle of that. So I was sitting at my computer the other day, working on this, naturally, and Facebook kind of chimed at me, because Facebook is prone to do. Sometimes I turn it off so I can't hear it, but it chimed at me. It was a friend request. I said, oh, all right. I looked at it, and I recognized the name as a fellow Nazarene pastor, but it was not somebody I'd ever actually met before in person. I had just had online interactions with this fellow pastor. So I accepted the friend request, and pretty soon he sent me a note. And he told me, he said, I'd seen you post video of your church worship service. And he said, I wanted to check it out because I wanted to see and understand how you incorporate the Eucharist each week into your order of service. In other words, you understand what's going on. This is a pastor doing a very practical, pastoral, sort of academic thing. I'm going to check out another pastor's service and see what they're doing. And this is what he then wrote. That he quickly found himself worshiping along with us, ministered to, encouraged, and uplifted. Our video ministry was a bold and creative move that we began just a little over a year ago. And in that time, we have developed regular participants each week. Let me just name some locations for you. Long Beach, California. By the way, Long Beach, would you send me an email? I would love to know who you are. Indianapolis, Indiana. San Jose, Costa Rica. Greenbrier, Arkansas. Westbrook, Maine. And those are just a handful of the towns and cities that I see regularly in our statistics each week. Some of them watching live with us on Sunday morning. Many of them watching the service at a later time during the week. My new Facebook friend who sent me a note, by the way, he said he'd be back And he pointed out, he said, you know, I'm sure you know, even pastors need a safe place to worship and to be fed. I shared in the Mission 15 conference in Kansas City in February, I said, we set out to design this ministry so it wasn't a television show, so it wasn't a spectator sport. Our goal was for people to feel like they were right here with us, so that they could do what my friend said and say, suddenly I found myself worshiping along with and ministered to and uplifted with your people. Our goal was for people to feel like they were right here with us, to be able to sing along, to share emails and Facebook posts, to pray and to learn with us. So it's just numbers, because people like numbers and reports. I don't know. We have 7 to 8 people joining us live each and every week on Sunday morning. And there are another 15 to 20 who watch every week according to their own schedules. And in addition to this, we're shown, and we can't record these numbers in any meaningful way, we're shown on cable television each week in Cape Elizabeth in South Portland, reaching into the living rooms with the gospel of Jesus every single week. So if you'll forgive me for a moment, I just want to take a minute and thank our online congregation for joining us and being part of us. You are a valued part of who we are, and we don't always even know how to say that or how to communicate that or how to connect with you. We want to do a better job of connecting with you, and we would love to hear from you. Let me also say this. You've blessed us in so many ways, and your participation, your prayers, and your gifts. You guys don't know this. Well, some of you do. But our online congregation has participated in regular and generous giving. Could you get this? Some members of our online congregation helped out with our capital campaign. I mean, it's not like they benefit from a new furnace, right? Or a new chimney, or new paint, or carpets. They've shared with our capital campaign. They've participated in Faith Promise giving. They've written checks for Alabaster and for crisis care kits. They've used online giving to supply stuffing for root cellar Thanksgiving baskets. So let me just say thank you and thank you for your participation. Earlier this morning, I mentioned that last year we presented sort of this optimistic and hope-filled budget that we didn't quite meet. And I think it was good for us. It was good to stretch and to imagine and to dream. But you know that for the last several weeks, as we approached the end of the church year, it became apparent we weren't going to meet that goal. And so we began to pray and talk about it and ask you to pray. And through prayer and sacrificial giving, just here's the report, the update, because I haven't had a chance to tell it to you yet. We saw the projected deficit go from $4,000 down to $3,000. That's good. And on the last Sunday of the church year, it went from $3,000 down to about $1,500, which allowed us to use just a portion of our contingency funds and end the year in the black. So I want to say thank you for all of you who prayed, who gave what you could. But especially, we're thankful for God who took and multiplied our gifts and used them. And we give thanks. Numbers are kind of boring, but they do tell part of the story, because we did a lot this year. We undertook a really significant and sizable capital campaign, setting out to accomplish about $22,000 in capital improvements. We had $7,500 in hand from an estate gift, generously given to us by somebody who is not a member of this congregation, but loved the work that we were doing. We needed to raise an additional $15,000 in pledges. We exceeded our pledge goal. Most of the work has already been completed, replacing the furnace at the parsonage, landscaping out front, which isn't quite finished, and doing some other updates here around the church. We're halfway through. Ready for a report? We're halfway through the 2-year pledge campaign. We're about 2/3 of the way through pledge fulfillment. In other words, we're way ahead of schedule. Thank you as you have given and as you continue to give. Thank you. Another remarkable and amazing gift, again, not from actually within this congregation, not from within these four walls, but God blessed us for the last 2 years with an unexpected gift from a local family foundation earmarked for benevolence and outreach to our communities. And so we prayerfully launched Loaves and Fishes this year, a big, audacious goal for this church, desiring not only to meet financial needs in the communities of Cape Elizabeth and South Portland, but really also to meet the need for community, to provide space for people who find themselves with cabin fever, or tired of the winter, or eating alone. 270 meals were served throughout the program. Man, they were good meals too. Yeah. Beverly, thank you. Diane, thank you. Other volunteers who participated, thank you. Those who just came and sat and visited with our new friends and neighbors, thank you. And people left each week. Now, they complimented the food. But what they complimented the most was it really felt like family. Praise the Lord. If you read the reports in your booklet, you'll read about faithful missions participation and giving. You'll read about attempts at outreach and evangelism. You'll read about Vacation Bible School and church picnics and other fellowship gatherings. You'll read about the number of people who participate in creating vibrant worship services, musicians and scripture readers and ushers and technical support. And so we celebrate the way that God has worked this year through each one of you. As we look forward to the year ahead, we don't always do things the same way we've always done them, right? And that's good that we dream and we continue to think forward into the future. And so we won't always do things the same way. We will conclude this year a wonderful 9-year ministry of Sunday night services at Wasamke Springs Campground. And they were wonderful times out there doing ministry to the campers out there. For a variety of reasons and for some folks who've moved on and are going to different campgrounds, we'll be concluding that ministry this year and are grateful for our opportunities to have been there and your participation in that. Another change, our children. Would you believe it? Our children keep growing up and getting older. It's kind of amazing how that work, and a couple of them aren't actually able to be here with us this morning, but this year, instead of hosting a vacation Bible school, we are putting a lot of emphasis into trying to send every child to Nazarene Camp, and it's July 27th to the 31st. It only costs $180, and on top of that, the church board has made partial scholarships available to every child connected with our church. We want to invest in our kids, and we want to help send them to camp this summer. At the same time, we anticipate doing some new things in the year ahead, and plans are underway to participate in Cape Family Fun Days, and Lynn has begun praying and dreaming and talking with some folks, maybe assembling a committee to brainstorm, in particular, ways we can interact with the 250th anniversary of the town of Cape Elizabeth. And so if you're interested in that, we want to send you Lynn's way and begin to talk about that and to put those things together. We are placing a renewed emphasis on small groups, and this year, as you've noticed and I've talked about, we're going to utilize these short 6-week groups, a curriculum that allows us to have multiple entry points into small groups, and looking forward to what God might do in multiplying those small group ministries. But most importantly of all, our commitment is to be open day by day to God's movement among us, that we might continue to walk in the light as he is in the light. Because here's the reality. All the numbers and the programs and the reports and the things that maybe aren't so interesting to some of us. Here's the reality. None of us can possibly know what the next year will bring. Right? We cannot even know what the next week or month can bring. All we can do is live in the moment, taking each day as it comes toward us, looking for opportunities to proclaim the message of God's light and salvation. Friends, I don't need to tell you this, but we live in complicated days. We do. The challenges are great. But the same God who raised Jesus from the dead walks with us through complicated days. As we walk in the light as he is in the light. So we must continue to walk with Jesus to pursue holiness, to confess shortcomings and failings, and to walk truly in the light. I'm reminded this too. Complicated days are really nothing new to the church. The church has existed in complicated days for 2,000 years. The church has always existed in complicated days. I've been reminded this week of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, pastor, theologian, who was killed in a Nazi concentration camp 70 years ago this week. Bonhoeffer lived in complicated times. He lived in a time when the line between the government and the church was so blurred that to stand up to one meant standing up to the other. He lived in a time when this unholy alliance resulted in the deaths of millions of innocents. And Bonhoeffer's martyrdom was a result of his desire to reflect the light of God, to do right as best as he saw how to do it each and every day. So I want to conclude this morning by sharing a prayer. You can read it on the screen along with me, or you can close your eyes and allow the words to be your words. But I'd like to read this prayer for you. It's one that Bonhoeffer is said to have written during his imprisonment. And this is what Bonhoeffer prays. O God, early in the morning, I cry to you. Help me to pray and to concentrate my thoughts on you. I cannot do this alone. In me, there is darkness, but with you, there is light. I am lonely, but you do not leave me. I am feeble in heart, but with you, there is help. I am restless, but with you, there is peace. In me, there is bitterness, but with you, there is patience. I do not understand your ways, but you know the way for me. Restore me to liberty and enable me to live now that I may answer before you and before me. Lord, whatever this day may bring, your name be praised. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you as you serve him this week.